This is Let's Keep It Real with Sandy Joy Weston, your weekly dose of positivity with awesome stories and guests from all over the world. It's an opportunity to learn some great new things and expand your mind. We'll tackle topics from all areas of life, and as always with Sandy, the sky's the limit.
Hello, hello, my Let's Keep It Real people. And you want to know something that's really going to keep it real? We're recording this on TEDx Tuesday. And I met my next guest at TEDx. That's absolutely right. So I usually say, hey, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for watching. Thanks for sharing the love. I really, really, really appreciate you voting, rating, sending it on, reposting my TEDx. But now I'm going to have another fave. It's not even a fave, you're going to want to do it. Manal, who's coming on, by the way, I've said her name wrong for like a year. No, maybe 8 months. I don't know. I was calling her Manal, but she's like, it's like canal, Manal. I'm like, oh, I got it now. But she was like, oh, I'm going to say my first and last name, which I thought was, that's why I love her. But anyhow, she did the TEDx with me, which we'll get into a little bit later. So I'm going to want you to tune into her too, because she's the bomb. All right, that's enough love going around. Let me introduce my next guest. If I get it right, Manal L. Ramley, which L. Ramley stands for the Sandy.
I love it, Sandy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's amazing to be here. And I love that we share a name. We're connected.
So does it really mean the Sandy?
Really? Yes, it does. El Ramli. Ramli means sand in Arabic. And my heritage is Egyptian. Both my parents are Egyptian. So it's El the Ramli. El Ramli.
Can I come to your next trip to Egypt? Can they just adopt me in? I mean, I would love that. I mean, I want to meet my heritage, the Sandy.
We did go to the cultural museum and I felt like, I'm like, hello, ancestors, looking at everybody at the tombs. And it was fantastic. Yes, I would love for you to join next time.
By the way, Manal just got back from Egypt. You were there for how many weeks?
For 3 weeks.
It was magical, wasn't it?
It was just incredible. It was so... The country is amazing. It's so fast, lots of noise, lots of lots of movement, lots of stimulation. So it was nice to be back home to the woods, to the Umstead. But there's just so much history. There's so much culture. My family is from there. There were so many El Ramleys in one spot. It's like, whoa, I have never seen as many Ramleys in my life before. I don't think there's ever been as many El Ramleys in one spot because there were multiple generations. It was fantastic. It was really an interesting time. And I love getting into our show that you start to look at things from a different perspective. So it was really interesting to sometimes step back and look at family, look at history, look at generational similarities and differences, because some of the families were born in America and some were in Egypt. So we had four generations of two family trees that were in two separate countries, and seeing how everything is the same, but very different. Like the flavor is very different. So yes, it was amazing. And next time you just join.
Okay. Just because I have this vision of you. Did you ride camels?
We did.
Oh, thank God. Because I just have this vision of your whole entire family going to the next gathering on a camel.
We did. And it was hot. It was like a really hot day. I don't know if it was in the hundreds that day, but there was an amazing breeze. And it was a desert breeze that day. And even I got video that I posted. And yes, my hair was just woo. And I'm like, I couldn't even do a commercial better than this. It was amazing. And the little young man said that I had great form. I kept saying, it's all in the core, kids. It's all in the core.
I thought you were going to say, Sandy, we don't ride camels over there. That's just movies, you know?
We did in the pyramids. We did in the pyramids.
All right. Can we tell them just a little bit about you, besides the fact that I love you and that I'm part of your heritage? Let's tell you about Manal. That's like canal, Manal. So I got it. Did I say it right? Let's hope so.
Beautiful, Manel, beautiful. And I said, Sandy, I don't like the symbolism of canal representing Manel. And you've said it 5 times now, but that's okay.
All right, well, I'm envisioning a lake or an ocean. I'm retraining my brain. You have to understand it's been reset a whole different way. Let's move forward. Manel is the author of Transcending Anxiety, From Fear to Freedom, and founder of Maintain, of course, by Manel, is your guide on the journey to attaining the life you desire. As a TEDx speaker in the house, what? Life coach and meditation teacher on Insight Timer, which I learned so much about, she empowers you to align your body, mind, heart, and ego. Integrating practical wisdom with spiritual insights and mindfulness practices. Okay, people, you know what? We instantly bonded. Through her diverse expertise, Manel bridges the gap between logic and intuition, helping you embrace your authentic self for a life of purpose. And here you go, people, joy and freedom. All right, we're going to jump right into it because we met Apex TEDx. Yay, Arena.
Great experience.
I really, really want you to share the topic of your TEDx and why you picked it. Because I asked my peeps before you came on what questions you want to ask her. And there was a lot about they wanted to hear your view on your TEDx and how you came up with it. Because there's a lot of people wanting to do TEDxes out there.
Yes, yes. Okay, it's a big question, but I'll
hone
in on it. I'm so much about honoring our human experience. And I see so many people on their spiritual journey, and a lot of the spiritual language is so repressive. Like one big word, healing. And everybody says we're on a healing journey, but healing implies we're broken. And if we're on a healing journey, when will we ever be whole? So I tell my followers, we are whole. We're not broken. We are whole. Yeah. And so there is so many different ways that I come to teaching that concept. One of the ways is the four bodies, the physical body, the emotional, the mental, and the egoic, which we'll talk through a lot as we continue today. And so I just kept working. We worked with a fantastic, Alan was a fantastic coach, fantastic for Alan. And he just kept pushing me. And he's like, well, what's your point? What's your point? What's your point? And at the end, I'm like, the point is, let's stop looking for purpose. It's not who am I, it's I am. And as once we all can embrace the beauty of our human nature. And that includes physical pain, that includes sadness, that's grief, that's anger, that includes our looping thoughts and us getting into these monkey minds that we control, that includes these misbeliefs that we have and limiting beliefs that we have to create into unlimiting beliefs. Once we embrace the nature of I am, and we are our purpose, the journey becomes one of compassion rather than judgment. So that's how I sort of looped around that. I felt like going directly to the purpose really embodies my message, which is it's amazing. And we are lucky to be here on the human journey. And life isn't happening to us. Life is happening for us. What do you say, Sandy? Will that satisfy your listeners, or what else do we want to drill into?
You know, there's a lot you can unpack there.
Yes.
And the biggest thing, and I'm sure you, I don't know if you hear this too.
Yes.
A lot of people, and some, I can understand it. They're like, wait a minute, for someone, we have a lot of people that have been on this journey.
Yes.
And you're going to tune into it and tap into it and go, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Now, what about the people that they forced to listen to it?
Yeah.
We love them. And like, whoa, let's back up. So there's a difference between we're healing, I'm not healing, I'm not broken. And it's semantics. And you know this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of amazing self-help people out there. Yes. Amazing. I love them. my mentors, my guides, my spiritual leaders, and they all deliver the message in a different way. And so the average person out there, the average bear, gets confused. Like, yes. I don't understand. I just thought I had to find my purpose and my passion. Yeah. And now what is she talking about? So why don't we unpack that?
Okay. So easy. Because it's so easy. It's so easy, Andy, because you said, this is why me and you connected so instantaneously. It's because you said we all know it. That's in our egoic body or in our mental body. We all know it. It's not enough to know it. We have to feel it. So what we need to do is we need to find our guru or our person that helps us embody that truth. Because knowing it is not enough. It's about it coming from your heart. So you tell us to shake, move, rattle, and talk about words that inspire us. You say, here are some specific ways that you can feel.
Yes, absolutely.
So you come in from a practical. Well, I'm coming in from more of a theoretical, spiritual sort of here's the answers. But at the same time, we're saying the same thing. You're saying
absolutely.
Say, wake up in the morning, be specific about your action, be specific about words, be specific about laughter, and that will bring in joy.
Mm.
So the guru, the follower, whoever you want to follow, listen to, believe.
Yeah. And that resonates with you. That resonates.
It helps you feel whole, feels joy, feel peace, feel happy, help you calibrate to a higher level. And me and you talked about this in a few of our conversations where there are some teachers that I followed that they were vibrationally higher than me, but then there came to a point that whether or not I'm higher than them, you can't rank, that's where we're humans, but that I could start to feel and hear their resistance and they were no longer the best teacher for me. They took me to the level and then it was about searching for someone that could resonate with me at my next level. So
I love that. Yeah, I always say, listen, I love all of them, but they're just not spinning where I want to spin. I went to a different plate. That's all. Yeah. That's good.
Exactly.
All right. That was wonderful. And that did unpack a lot. So now let's stay with that because I so agree with you. I don't know if I told you this, when I was doing one of my first journals, I brought in what I called the powers to be. And there were 12 different leaders from neuroscience, exercise physiologists, positive psychologists, spiritual leaders. And they would debate each other. Not mean, I don't want to say argue, but debate. Yeah.
Yes.
Healthy debate.
Yeah.
But I would be like, whoa, take a step back. You're all saying the same thing. You're just coming from a different angle. And for me,
yes,
find the leader that resonates with you because they were all saying the same message. I heard it over and over again, what you're saying. I just resonated with this more than that. And then, like you said, here I was this year, and then I moved over there to that year. You know, so I love that you say that. So let's stay with the next biggest question. You always say this. So for the people that don't realize what you mean, she's taking her hand, if you're not watching this, and circling it above your head. I want you to talk about that.
Yeah, I do it without even realizing, Sandy. So when I break it down into four bodies, the egoic, the mental, the emotional, physical, the egoic is up here. That's where our purpose
is. Stay with the egoic. And where did you get that word? Because I never heard about it until you.
Okay. So a lot of different Reiki and a lot of different things talk about the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual. Okay. Correct. But we all have an ego and everybody thinks that our egos are bad, but we all have an ego. So implicit in there, there's an element of us that's bad. Well, guess what? I am not going to accept anymore that any part of me is bad or broken or not good enough. So what I realize is like, oh, this, and also spiritual implies that there's no resistance, but it's in this egoic body where we face the resistance, where we think we're not good enough, we're not worthy, we're not free, we can't be happy. So I don't feel that spiritual is fair to call this body because it implies that it's non-resistant, but we're resistant in here. And there's an ego, which everybody thinks is resistant. So what I realize is, no, this is the egoic body. And what we want to do is move from a resistant body to a non-resistant body. A resistant body thinks I'm not good enough. A non-resistant body knows I am. A resistant body thinks that I'm not worthy. A non-resistant body knows I'm worthy. And I have something that's called the unconditional three. I have, like, you know, everybody wants their different names and now you know how it is. So the unconditional three, and I believe that we are all here on this human journey to calibrate to three truths.
All right.
Our worthiness, this word, I call it love, happiness, inner peace, because love has a lot of distortion. So whatever resonates with you, but it's all the same. And I believe that we are the vibration of love at the end of the day, and freedom. And that our life journey is for us to calibrate to the non-resistant egoic beliefs of our worthiness, our freedom, and our love. And gotcha. When we get there, we are I am. Not I am Sandy, not I am the Sandy, not I'm Egyptian, not I'm Manal, not I'm fat, I'm thin, I'm tall. I don't know why I always say fat, because fat gets people reacting. And then I'm like, that's the resistance we want to get to. Because there's no fat, there's no thin, there's no tall, there's no short, there's no ugly, there's no beautiful. It's I am. We all are beautiful, radiant beings. Like, look at that smile. And whoever's
listen, I know many of you, you can't watch, but you're going to have to watch her because it's awesome thought. Again, your hands are above your head. So for those who are not watching us or can't because you're driving, don't do that. Let's stay there, because I get this over and over again, question after question. But now, please.
Yes.
Please. How can I possibly, after all these confusing years, understand ego? I am so confused. I've tried to understand it. Can you please explain to me what it is?
Okay.
Because I get this all the time. Like, when people say ego, they say to me, Sandy, I tune out. I can't even picture it.
Yes. For me, the Manal language, Kate, I believe... Okay, we have our physical body. We all know what our physical body, and it's not just our body, it's our life journey. So our physical body represents our physical body and our life journey. Our emotional body is easy. It's where our emotions are, our happiness, our sadness, our anger, whatever. We all know what that is very easily, and I call that the heart. Mental body, easy. This is where our thoughts are, our logic is, our analysis is, our mind. Now, what forms our thoughts? Our beliefs,
okay.
Our belief system.
Okay.
What connects us to higher? It's this egoic body, what I refer to as the egoic body. So it represents our identity. It's where it holds our beliefs, and it's our sense of self, and it's our connection to larger. That's why in some places call it the spiritual body, because it connects us to the greater meaning of life.
All right. I just want to make sure I'm not confused here.
Yes.
So you're saying the egoic body, aka the ego, is also the spiritual body to you?
I am saying that some places refer to a fourth body as the spiritual body.
Gotcha.
For me, the fourth body is the egoic body, because okay. What I want us to do is learn to love our ego. And when our ego is non-resistant, we are all equal. There's no separation between me and you. There's no separation between me and my children. There's no separation between me and the birds and the trees, because we're all part of this beautiful universe. Hmm. So it's the resistant ego that sees me as this physical Manal.
Okay.
Yes.
So I know you hear it all the time.
Yes.
I don't know why I let my ego get in the way.
Yes.
That's just my ego doing it. I got to shut down my ego. What? And, you know, and then you hear people say, well, we all have an ego. It's just being aware of it. And are you going to let it control you? So how do you address that? Because I never really understood that.
When I refer to the egoic body, I don't know. It's not necessarily one-on-one correlated to when people refer to the ego as you are. But,
okay.
But in society, the ego is viewed as a resistant body that keeps us from radiating our truth. And
yeah.
It's either protecting us, or it's by being offensive or defensive. by being smaller than himself than bigger than themselves, but it's not allowing our radiance. And it's because it's trying to protect us. What's it trying to protect us from? Not being good enough, not being free, or not being unhappy, not being lovable, not being loved, not finding happiness. It's trying to protect us from one of the three. Our fears are we are not good enough. Our fears are we are not free, that we are under control and we have no control. Our fears are that we are never going to be loved and we are not lovable. But the truth is, when we recognize internally, every single one of us are worthy, every single one of us are free, and every single one of us are loved, our ego does not need to protect us. And what we do is we radiate the essence of the truth of who we are, which is love, worthiness, and freedom. We radiate the truth of what the beauty of you see around us. And that's what happens when you become confident is in your physical body, and positive self-esteem is in your emotional body, and in your mental body, you have, But you want to get to your egoic body, which is your positive self-image, and that you're radiating your truth and who you are.
Mm. Okay. I get it now. Now I have a clear picture. So I think we should get to some of these questions for you.
Okay.
Because I think it's really going to go through a lot of things that you want to get out into the world. So I got a number of questions about, I call them Sally, Billy, Bob, whatever, people writing into me. Let me just read one specifically. Dear Sandy, please ask Manal how I can love myself and feel that I'm worthy. I've done a lot of shitty things in my life. If you knew what I was before, boy, oh boy, you would not want to hang out with me. I'm not that same person. How can I move forward and think I deserve to be happy?
Okay, beautiful. Who was that? Is there a name?
We'll call her Sally. They want to be anonymous.
Sally. No, that's fine. Okay, Sally, you are beautiful. Okay, so first of all, what I want to say is no different than what Sandy teaches us, which is you got to work your muscle. These are muscles that we're building. So we've got our physical muscles, our biceps, our triceps, our quads, but rebuilding new beliefs. Just like Sandy at the beginning, you kept saying Manal, canal, Manal, canal. I'm recreating my wires. There are some wires that Sally, I'm smiling because I really love your pseudo name, that Sally, that you need to rebuild. And so the first step is we can just reframe some of the things that you said. So the first thing is that you have a perception, Sally, that what you did was bad, and and that your old person, your prior person, is not a good person. Well, what about that person is actually a symptom of the conditioning that you grew up from? Because if you really look into it, the reason that you are from your life journey is because your parents. And your parents are actually who they are because they're parents. And I call it conditioning. So when you can start to recognize that, oh, Sally, I'm not in quotes, all the listeners, I have quotes around this, bad girl, but actually that I'm here to grow and expand and to evolve. And my history is actually an interesting, curious sequence of events that actually are very much interconnected with my parents. And I can turn around, one of my really strong coaches that I let go a long time ago, because what he was doing was making me hate my parents and hate my parents' parents because they did this to me. But no. Our parents are conditioned. Our parents were conditioned by their conditioners, and their conditioners were conditioned by their conditioners. So all of our what people call, I'm going to put this in quotes, listeners, generational trauma. It's not generational trauma. It's life experiences that we are all collectively having so we can recalibrate to the truth of our internal beauty. So Sally, the first thing that I'd work with you is to reframe your past and try, and you do it by having curiosity and compassion for your life journey and recognizing that your life journey was meant to be. and see that it is a gift because it delivered you to today. And what are you doing today? You're listening to Sandy and Manel. And why are you listening to Sandy and Manel? Because you want to go inward and find and connect with the beauty and the truth of who you are. So how could those collective events have been bad if it led you to this moment? And then ultimately, what we want to do is fast forward and get to, this is what, when we continue building our biceps and our triceps and our quads, is get to a place that we can just be in the infinite now, in the present moment. That's when we feel infinitely connected, but we can't do that when we're holding baggage from the past. So I can keep going on and on and on, but I'm going to go back to you, Sandy, and say, did I answer all of Sally's questions, or are there any points that would be helpful to emphasize?
I think for now, besides her meeting with you, that's good, because I feel clear. I feel clear. And that, you know, I love that you said that. And I can't even imagine a mentor or coach wanting you to hate your family. I can't even imagine that.
It was unconscious, this anger, subtle anger. So he didn't teach that, but it was an unconscious, subtle anger that he had not actually healed from his own parents.
Gotcha.
And so in the teachings, I would see subtly that there was this built up of anger that all of his students would have towards their circle. So it wasn't a direct hate your family for doing this, but it was, he had not, I'm going to use the word, healed. He was not still whole and had a lot of projecting of his anger from who he was towards his family. So it was not a 0-1.
I got you. No, I'm with you, but I'm with you. All right. So
yes,
life's a mirror, and this is a tricky one.
Yes.
Okay. So a lot of well-meaning people, loving people will say to me, Sandy, I don't care what you say. This is not happening for a reason. This person did this to me. This person did that to me. This person did that to me. This person did this to me. I lost my job. You know what I mean? Like, the world's out to get me. Mm-hmm. And there's no way to put a positive spin on it. And you say, why didn't you call me then? I'm the wrong person. I'm the wrong person, baby. There's a lot of people you could call that be like those mother humpers, blah, blah, blah. People suck, da, 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 whatever. But not me. But I do really want to get into this, because I can see at different points of people's lives what they just feel like it's crashing and burning, and they don't deserve it. And how could this be happening to them? And there is no purpose. So I know that's a big question, but it's something.
Yeah, it's easy now too. I do weekly lives, and today it came up, and it always comes up. And so, first of all, you made the most valid point, Sandy. You have to be willing to look within. You have to be. You have to be willing to say that life is a mirror, and how do I grow and expand from this? You have to be willing. I'm going to say the V word. Not the word that everybody, with listeners, that's not the V word I meant, the victim word. You have to be willing to, and I don't like, my kids tainted me, Sandy, out of being positive. They like toxic positivity, mom, toxic positivity. So I actually do not even, I don't even believe that I'm positive anymore. It's empowered.
Okay.
It's empowered.
Tomato, tomato. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's empowered. So to me, I'll first say, okay, let's give this one a pseudonym. What's their pseudonym? This questioner, this listener.
Oh, this is Billy Bob.
Okay, perfect. So Billy Bob, my first thing would be, Billy Bob, what do you believe in life? Why do you believe? Because this is one of my things that I actually do very much. I'm conscious and aware of. I don't want to give people my beliefs. I will offer what I believe, because that's, people ask me, and because I have beliefs. But what do you believe? Do you believe that you are your purpose? Do you believe that there is God? Do you believe in the universe? Do you believe in the law of attraction? Do you believe in manifestation? So I will be saying, Billy Bob, what do you believe? What do you truly believe? And so somebody, you know, 80% of the world, 70, I don't know what the statistics now, will say, well, I believe in God. This is beautiful. So if you believe in God, do you believe that God has a reason? And they'll say yes. And you say, okay, fantastic. So then now, can you see from a more worldly view that what's happening to you, if you look at it singly, yes, it feels like it's personal. It feels like you're a victim. But when you believe in God, that there's a story, there's a mystery, there's something greater than this that we just don't quite know because we're living the human experience. But do you, and so I'll go into their beliefs of God, and that there's a bigger meaning and there's a higher, a bigger hand. Or I'll go into, I love talking about vibration and vibrational experience and the vibrational story, and that everything is vibration, and that what's going on and what's playing, it's because it's within you. It's a vibrational song. And so what your opportunity is to see how many, I call it the cookie cutter, how many cookie cutters of this life experience of betrayal, of rejection, or whatever that story is, have you had? And then you could start to see, oh, look, this is going on and on in your life. And it's only going to stop when you go within and you see that your worthiness or your freedom or where it might be, whatever it might be, is within you. It's within you.
I love that. Love that you ask them what their belief is, because they don't have to take on your belief. I'm going to let you know how I believe, but what's yours?
Yeah. What's yours?
I love what you do.
No. Okay, good. And if their beliefs are, if they don't know their beliefs, then that's what the first coaching or guidance is to help reaffirm. A lot of people will say, well, I believe in God, but I'm not sure about the religious. And then I'm like, oh, that doesn't matter. So a lot of people doubt they don't have clarity in their beliefs, but actually, I actually reaffirm that they have a solid belief that religion right. doesn't mean God. So then we get to focus on the root cause. What I like to do with everything is always get to the root cause. Mm. And yes, the root cause. And so Billy Bob, what's the root cause? Is that person not making you feel worthy? Then it's not what they're doing. It's actually that you don't feel good enough, that they make you feel small. And that's what we want to work on. And that you have your sense of self, your self-worth. Yeah. Rather than depending on somebody else to give that to you.
You know, I'm going to go right into this next question because it leads into it. So this young man was saying that he had found out a year later that the place where he took his car, they weren't the most honest mechanics. All right. So they were overcharging people, things that weren't wrong. And this goes on for pages. So I'm trying to paraphrase. We'll call him Peppy.
Well, Peppy's. I already had his name as Chris, but we'll go.
All right, Chris. We'll call him Peppy. I know too many Chris's.
Peppy. Okay, Peppy.
And Peppy was saying that his personality is normally to like just move on. Mm-hmm. But lately, he's felt the need that where's that fine line of standing up for yourself? Mm-hmm. And I get this a lot. How do you stand up for yourself, but at the same time, not throw you out of that peace, love, and joy place of being? Because there are many people, for whatever reasons, whatever their lesson is, whatever's coming to them, that they'll confront the issue of somebody taking advantage. You know, maybe they got swindled. Maybe somebody, you know, charged too much. Maybe they didn't provide the service. But they don't want to make waves, some people, because, you know, they want to stay in this place. But then it doesn't set right with them because the person didn't hold true to what mm-hmm. they said they were going to do and promise. And I know it's an individual base. So let's yes. just stay with Peppy and okay. the garage and finding this out. And then more and more people. And it's so much easier, he said, for him just to say, oh, well, let's move this direction.
Okay. Like you said, it's hard to sort of have a case by case sort of like in this particular, but let's talk generally.
Yeah.
Generally, what we want all of us to be able to express our truth. And we don't want to stay happy. Did everybody see Inside Out? What happened when joy suppressed sadness is that there was repressed
joy. Yeah, not good joy. I've been there for the first show. Everyone's like, Sandy, you need to go see that.
Yeah, with joy suppressed sadness. So what we want to do is allow. We want to build up our muscles particularly our emotional muscles. Today during our live, we spent a lot of time focusing on allowing the expression of our heart. And most people had closed off or cautious, but allowing the true expression of what is right. So if I feel like I went somewhere and was not honored in a transaction, then from a place of grounding, there would be some sort of, I don't even want to say, it doesn't have to be a conflict, but it's sort of, this just doesn't feel right. And you don't have to honor your anger. I'm going to say this. I don't want anybody getting mad at me. This is what my client used to say all the time. To express your anger doesn't mean you have to kick the dog. Because I'd say, you know, open up to your anger. And he would say, well, I don't want to kick the dog. And I don't want to punch. And it's like, it's not kicking the dog. And it's like allowing that expression of anger, allowing that expression of not feel of being taken advantage of, allowing that expression, and then doing whatever inspired action that's coming from a place of grounding. So Pepe, what we want to do is see, are you not allowing yourself to speak your truths in different places of your life, in your intimate relationships, at your work? And that's what we want to get to, is for you to be true to you. And it's not specific to a garage. It's specific to your everyday life. And to speak your truth, that means you're connected to your heart, which you're allowing the expressions of your emotions. And so if you're angry, yeah, embody that. Today this is a really bad example, but I'll give it. Today we were out for breakfast, and we ordered four meals between the three of us. There was three savories and a dessert crepe. And the two savories came and the dessert one didn't. And then after 27 minutes, I know later on, because the manager said it took 27 minutes, my son's meal came. And I wasn't happy because we went out and we had a small window between my morning and this us and we don't, who likes eating when the other people aren't eating? But anyway, when the young man brought the meal, I just asked him, why did it take long? And he goes, well, I'm not sure. He said, I apologize. And I said, okay, why? And he goes, I'm not sure. Would you like me to inquire? So I said, sure. So he went out, he went back in, and then came out the manager. And the manager said, yeah, they had to recook it for a certain time. We're so sorry. It shouldn't have taken 27 minutes. And we're going to take it off of the, so your check. But the point is, there was something I wasn't happy about. They did not see my anger, but I was able to vocalize from a place of self-confidence that why from a place of curiosity, and they owned the error. So what I want is, Pepe, for you to see, are you owning your voice? Are you owning your feelings? And that's the muscles we want to build.
I think that's wonderful. And I think it's going to help Pepe and a lot of other people. And I just want to take another step of what I'm hearing or how I feel.
Yes.
Let's say that this has been an issue for you, right? Mm-hmm. You know, speaking your truth, you know, whether it's going to be well received or you're afraid, you know, hey, there are times it's not. They're just, difficult conversation. Doesn't mean it doesn't need to be said. If you want that, it'll keep coming in different forms until you address it, right? So you didn't do that. You've said ignore it. Then it comes again, and then, and it looks like all these people are against you. But really, it's like you just want to really speak your truth, and so it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until you're like, all right, exactly. I'm gonna stand up for myself.
Yes, and Pepe can actually see that he can thank that garage owner because it made him ask today and to sort of start to recognize that there might be areas in my life where I can start to grow into myself. Mm.
I had to recently have a, let's call it a difficult conversation. And when I do, I usually take a step back, depending on how difficult the conversation, it could be a day, a week, you know, an hour. And you call it grounding. I call it centered. Am I coming from love for myself, I say, and love for getting the message out? Mm-hmm. And so I did it, and a couple of my friends went, so how did that go? I go, well, it wasn't well received. They go, what do you mean? I go, I kept trying, but yeah, it didn't get me anywhere. And they're like, well, do you regret having it? I go, hell no. Because even though this gentleman was at, like, not receiving it, I still know he heard it. And maybe not today, maybe not a week from now. But more importantly, I had to say it. I do think it will have an impact. And I remember I was probably, I was like maybe 28 years old when I was meeting with this woman, a beautiful spiritual leader. And she was talking about having difficult conversations within my business, because sometimes you have to let people go.
Yeah.
And she said, Sandy, just because it wasn't well received, mm-hmm. or they didn't like hearing it, doesn't mean you didn't need to say it. Mm-hmm. And that stuck with me mm-hmm. forever.
I love it. And I think the main point that me and you, that I see that you and I, that said, is that you start from a place of grounding or centering, whatever language that you want to use, but we are clean about it, that this isn't triggering my lack of self-worth. It's not triggering my desire to be loved or unloved. It's not hurt. It's not my ego, coming back to our difficult conversation about the ego. It's not the ego that's trying to protect my emotions, but it's coming from a place of clarity and truth. And so we've done the inner work, and now we have to have a conversation so we can either release, we can come to common understanding from a place of love or compassion, as you said. Beautiful.
And I can see why people avoid them, because so many times in business, I go and I teach these workshops and they're like, mayday, mayday, mayday. But I try to explain that there are times when what's the outcome you want, it's not necessary. I get it. But more times than not, it will absolutely be well received mm-hmm. if you're feeling grounded in what you have to say, and there's a greater good, the outcome yes. that you want and thought about, like really, like what are you getting out of this? You know? Yes. All right, listen, we got to keep moving on. We're going to like be done here in a few minutes. Look, the time flew by, and I even brought you on, by the way, the longer podcast, the Let's Keep It Real one. We could have done either one, like the shorter one. I'm like, oh my God, I got to bring her on this one because I knew it. So let's just get this last little piece in here about not everything, you did touch it a little bit. It's going to be pippy, skippy, and positive all the time. It's mm-hmm. just not life, and how you can accept it, you know, as like this is your truth, and that it's not meant to be that way.
Did you see me like breathe in and breathe out and release, have a big release when you said that? The point is, I hate that I'm like, I've said it's easy so many times today. And I had a voice inside of my mind that said, Manal, don't keep saying it's easy, because it seems a bit disrespectful for the journey that we're all on. So when I say it's easy, I'm not dismissing that it's hard.
No, but, I understand. But yeah, my say what I got was, it's not complicated, but doesn't mean it's not difficult to make that.
Perfect. And I also, one of my sayings, and this is my book, is like, it's hard until it's not. Riding a bike was hard until it's not. And even learning to sleep and eat, we had to teach our babies. This was one of the most things that was just so fascinating to me, is that I had to teach my baby how to eat, how to nurse. That wasn't something they knew naturally, and how to sleep. So, but now it's easy. You know, you say to the kids, say, we're going to go to bed. So it's hard until it's not, is one of my core beliefs. So that's why I say it's easy, but it's easy. And then I'll say to you, what was the question again, Sandy? I diverted so much. I forgot.
Oh my God, I swear I love you. Everything doesn't have to be positive.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I diverted. I forgot. Okay. This is, you all know the Chinese parable of the Chinese farmer, and his son was going off to war, and then he broke his leg, so he couldn't go to war. Everybody knows that one. It's like, oh, I'm so
sorry. I don't know that one.
Oh my goodness. It's just this wonderful story about this old Chinese farmer, and his son was going off to war, and everybody's like, oh my God, that's terrible. And then his son breaks his leg, and then he breaks his leg, so he can't go to war. And they're like, oh my God, that's so great. But then when he breaks his leg and doesn't go to war, then he starts gambling or something. I don't know. And so it's a whole story of people saying, that's terrible, that's great, that's terrible, that great, that terrible. And the Chinese farmer just came saying, we will see, we will see, we will see. Mm-hmm. And how many people have missed a flight and they're like, oh my God, if I went on that flight, X or Y would happen. Or somebody's sick at home, and then that day something would have happened on their way. So the point is, we don't know if anything is good or bad. We just talked about Sally, and we talked about Pepe. We talked a lot about things. That these experiences actually led them to inner work. Today, during my live, one of my followers was talking about how her sister was diagnosed with cancer. She was given 2 years, and 1 to 2 years, and she was going to do chemo. And then after 4 months, because of the chemo, it worked. But she was very vain, and the whole exercise made her go within. And she said it was the best thing that happened to her. So was the cancer good or was the cancer bad? And so if we are just willing to step back and stop taking life so personally, if we step back and we stop thinking that everything that happened to us has to be labeled as good or bad, and just accept life as is. It is what it is. It's not good. It's not bad. It's not up. It's not down. It's not right. It's not left. It just is. And that's actually what awakening is when we recognize that there is something bigger that's happening to life. And when we embrace every moment and we accept things for it is, that's when we find the inner peace and we find alignment with life, and things become so easy, even though I had to apologize for saying easy too often, because I don't want to dismiss the difficulty that I have too. I mean, I always say to my followers, I'm human too. I cry too, and I struggle too, and I get mad too. And just because I can say it all intellectually doesn't mean at moments that I'm feeling so human.
Oh my God, I love you. All right, well, listen, I'm so happy that you were able to connect and be on the show. I'm so thrilled. I am sad you don't live closer, but we'll just have to deal with that. But before we go, if we were leaving one thing, like one thing they could take action on immediately for somebody who this is really, let's go with somebody that this all is very new to. Mm-hmm. It's all really new information. What would you have them do now? What would be the first thing you would have them do?
Breathe. Today, one of my followers, he's been following for quite some time, was talking about, I don't know why I feel a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety. And you know, maybe a week ago, my mind was just looping with things, and I wasn't feeling grounded and feeling, and it was like all day. It's what they define anxiety as, but I've never labeled it as anxiety, whatever goes on with me. I don't like that label, even though I wrote a book about anxiety, but as an aside,
that's another podcast.
What did I do all day? The number one way, step one of my 5-step process is awareness. And so breathing is the most simple activity that we can do to become aware of our physical being, and to slow the mind down and to just allow the present moment. So if you are in the very beginning and this is all new to you and all overwhelming, just every moment of the day, when you're just start practicing awareness and just start it with what we have to do naturally. Mm-hmm. Everybody do it now, do it right now, and just feel the power of taking in that breath and just releasing it. And watch throughout the day when something difficult might happen. At one moment, Sandy, I said to you, oh, did you notice how I just sighed with that question? Just watch how your breath naturally regulates yeah. your mind and your nervous system, and just have fun with something that we've taken for granted yeah. our whole life. That's what I would say for somebody on the beginning of their journey. But there's many other muscles.
We got it, baby. All right, Manal, before we go, how yes. can they find you? Where can they watch you? How can they look you up? Tell us everything.
Fabulous. I'm Matane by Manal. And you laughed. You're like, Matane by Manal. It is Manal. But you could find me on YouTube. I have my lives and I have videos and I have different podcasts. I have on Instagram. You can find me on Insight Timer. I've got a lot of courses on there and meditations, and we do lives as well. There's a really great tribe and community. You can find me at my website, www.matane.me. And you can find me on Amazon, my book, Transcending Anxiety from Fear to Freedom, which talks about all of the things that we talked about today, the four bodies, letting life be as is, and the unconditional three that we talked about, the egoic body, and what the fears are that we hold in there and why we express this in our four bodies.
Love it. All right, my Let's Keep It Real people. Come on. I told you were going to love her. And we would really appreciate, because you really love this conversation. And I know you know at least one person who could benefit. Liking, sharing, and rating it, it makes a huge difference. And you know what I'm going to say. Until next time, thank you so much, Manal, and toodles.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to share and subscribe if you enjoyed the show. And remember, keep spreading the positive.